This is Bill Messerly with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio in a special Frontline of Hope update with Bishop Robert J. Brennan, Bishop for the Diocese of Columbus, for Monday, the fifth week of Easter. Happy Easter and welcome, Your Excellency.
Happy Easter. How good to be with you today.
It is a good to be with today. It has been awfully cold, though, for a spring. Did you experience this on the East Coast?
No. As a matter of fact, they had a little bit of snow on Long Island over the weekend, which is really an unusual. I think it was a record for the latest day, or tied the record for the latest snowfall in the year. I remember when I was a kid, it snowed once around Easter. In fact, one of the neighbors made a snowman that was shaped like an Easter bunny. And so that's always been in my head as the latest around Easter time. And yet here we are in the middle of May, and they had snow there, and we had pretty cold weather.
Well, the good news is this doesn't happen every year. So hopefully you know that, or you have been assured by others that this is not the norm.
Well, you know, one of the ladies in our office, Julie, said to me last week, she said, I violated one of the major laws here in Ohio. And I said, what's that? She said, I planted my flowers before Mother's Day, and now I'm going to pay for it. So yeah. Apparently that there is something to Mother's Day as a marker in the calendar.
There really is in this area. And speaking of Mother's Day and the readings from yesterday, 1 Peter 2, 4 through 9, Jesus Christ himself talks about church and relating himself as the cornerstone.
Indeed. Great image that Peter uses to talk about who we are, you know. And it's a powerful image. You too are living stones. Come to Christ, the stone rejected by the builders who has become the cornerstone. So you too are living stones, he says, you. And he's speaking to the newly baptized, and he's speaking to us some 2,000 years later. You're living stones. But you know what? Living stones aren't just thrown together to form a church, right? Mm. They everything is put together so carefully. St. Augustine, I used an image of St. Augustine. St. Augustine, when he was, as a bishop, dedicating a church, consecrating a church, he looked out and he said, you know, the work of the gospel is going out and gathering the faithful. Like a builder gathers the stone and the timber, the materials, so it is the work of the gospel. Jesus gathers us together. But then the stones and the timber, they have to be shaped and formed, and then they have to fit together in a certain kind of a harmony. We need to work things out with each other. And St. Augustine says, if that doesn't happen, I'm not entering this building. You know, you're afraid to enter if you don't have everything in harmony. And so it is. Peter says, you're living stones. So wonderful, you know. Great things happen when we allow ourselves to be shaped and formed, but built on Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone. He's the one that gathers us together. And like you said in the gospel, I am the way and the truth and the life. You know, don't let your hearts be troubled. Come to me.
Beautiful. So. And there's going to be some new activity the next couple of weeks in our diocese as it relates to gathering
Indeed.
Together as church.
Indeed, the Lord is calling us back together again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. This has been a tough time for so many of us. And I have to say, I can't say it enough to all the faithful here. Thank you for all the sacrifices you have made, exercising your moral responsibility and looking out for one another in that sense of extreme charity, looking out for one another. We've made some tremendous sacrifices, and chief among those tremendous sacrifices, we sacrificed our being together for the Sunday Eucharist. But we're working toward that restoration and working in a way that honors all that sacrifice so that we continue to keep people safe and healthy. So what are we doing? This week, we're beginning to open up churches for prayer and adoration. Churches will be opened during very certain hours so that we can keep on top of the cleaning them and all the things we need to do so that we're responsible at our end. We're going to ask people to be responsible and, you know, not to gather in large groups, or if you notice there's a large group, maybe to come another time, to look out for the health and welfare of other, not to be right next to other people, give them a little space and you take space. We call it social distancing. You know, we're being encouraged to wear masks as a sign of concern for each other. Let's try to do that. Make sure you're healthy. Don't go into a church if you're not healthy, because you could bring something to somebody else. It's probably a good practice to be checking out temperature and making sure that we are healthy enough to go outside. All those things that they're asking of people to do in the outside world, we're asking people to take the same considerations in the church out of us in a spirit of love and respect for their neighbor. So that begins this week. And, you know, it'll happen over time. I'm not announcing that there's a particular day and a particular hour that every church will open. They're going to do that as they're ready. And we may not be able to open every church. We may have to have churches work together with each other because, you know, the work of keeping it clean might be overwhelming in a particular place that doesn't have enough staff or possibility. Some may have a particular chapel. Some may open the big church. So keep your eye on your parish website. Watch for communications. You can stop by and they may be posting signs. But little by little, you're going to see over this week and next week more and more churches opening for prayer and adoration.
You know, it's interesting when I talk to my kids and I make a change in, quote, policy or something changes, one of my daughters will say, "Now wait, what did you say? Now wait, what did you say?" So as the listeners are listening to you, Bishop Brennan, maybe they're saying to themselves, "Now wait, what did you just say? Could you summarize what's happened the last couple of weeks as it relates to confession and now with the churches opening
yes.
up?"
Yes. So we've been opening, we started with confession so that people could come and make appointments for confession. And now we're opening up the church and allowing people to stop by to, as people are a little freer now in society to walk around a little bit, also to come into the church to offer a prayer. Now, that'll continue for the ongoing future. But what we're moving toward is the resumption of Sunday and weekday masses. So that's the other thing we did last week. I had a meeting with all the priests, and we talked about the resumption of our Sunday masses for public worship. And that will be on Pentecost Sunday, May 31st. Had a good conversation with the pastors and, again, know how much they love God and how much they love their people. So we're all thinking similar things. We're excited and happy and looking forward to getting together, but we're also a little bit nervous, hoping that we can make sure to keep everyone safe. So Sunday Mass begins on May 31st. Shall I add a new wrinkle?
Wow. Go
Here's
ahead.
A new
Go
wrinkle.
Ahead.
We'll add to that now. What we will do in the days before, during that week before, beginning on May 25th, some parishes may begin to offer weekday Mass as a way of building up to it. So as maybe a way of distributing the crowd a little bit or making sure our procedures are in place. We may begin on the regular schedule. We may not. We'll just have to, again, I have to keep asking people, please, 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 please be flexible. Please keep checking the website. We're dealing with a reality that keeps changing and throwing us curveballs. And so we may need to make changes along the way, but this is what we're moving towards. So, like you say, I'll summarize it. Week of May 25th. May 25th is Memorial Day, so that in itself is an unusual day. So beginning that week, any certain days during that week, individual parishes may have weekday masses. But the goal is that all of us will be able to have Mass beginning on May 31st.
That's beautiful. And for those that might be in the high-risk category, either immune-compromised or elderly, will they be required to attend Mass starting the 31st?
Ah, very good question. Well, let me back up. Nobody will be required because we continue to grant the dispensation. Each bishop is doing that here in Ohio. I can tell you I'm granting that dispensation. I'm granting that dispensation generally through the summer. Okay, so nobody is required to come to Sunday Mass. So what does that mean? Well, for the elderly, for those who are considered high risk. It means you really should continue to protect your health and remain at home. Or if you're not quite high risk, but maybe getting in that area, you know, that gray zone, you might want to consider coming the day during the week, right, when it's less crowded. We are going to have to we're going to limit the number of people inside the church at any given point to allow for that social distancing. In order to allow 6 feet between every person, that means cutting off a number of our pews. It means only a few people in them, except for families who are all together all the time. So, yeah, there are going to be changes. But so if you're susceptible, we're going to ask you to continue to remain home. And we'll offer our live streaming. We'll offer the things that we're doing now to keep you connected. If you're sick, even if you're sick with the common cold, you don't know it for a fact, please stay home. Please. We don't want the churches to be the place where there are tremendous transmissions of the disease. So, if you're not well, stay home. And then, like I said, that dispensation still applies. Many of us are not going to be ready to come out on May 31st, and you shouldn't have to. But if that's what you'd like to do, we're going to be happy to welcome you, and you can. But spread it out. And hopefully as the summer comes along, we might be able to gather more often and with more people. Let's see how this all progresses. But at the end of May, we expect to still be in a similar situation where the gathering of large crowds is dangerous. So we're going to do everything we can to mitigate it. And one of those things is, if you're sick or if you're high risk, not only are you dispensed, but we're really begging you not to come out.
Bishop Brennan, thank you for your wise leadership. My daughter, who works in the hospital on a COVID floor, reminded me last night that it is very real. And I think that as we begin to gather together, it's important to remember that the reality is that this is a disease that we don't have a treatment for, and it is disastrous for those who are immune compromised or elderly.
You know, man, you're giving me an opportunity to say something pretty serious. I hope I'm not spending too much time here, but you're right, Bill. This is very real. And one of the things I'm starting to hear, both politically and even in the religious circles, is that this isn't very real, or there's an overreaction, or that there's some kind of a plot. Those who are working in the hospitals know that this is very, very real. And they also know that we're not out of it yet. And, so when somebody tells me something along those lines, I know people don't mean ill by this, but when I hear somebody say something along the lines of this isn't very, this is all just drummed up and overblown, that's really insensitive to the families where people have died and are sick, and that's really insensitive to people like your daughter or like my cousin or my niece who is nurses who are facing this very, very, in a very real way. This is real, and it's not over. And the suffering is awful. And, I was telling the priest last week, I know of a nurse who comes home every day and cries. And she says things like, I had to hold up the phone to somebody who was dying all alone so that their family could say goodbye to them. This is real. This is not an overblown crisis. And it's true, like Governor DeWine said to me, this is going to be with us for a long while, and we're going to have to learn how now to live with it. We can't just stay hunkered all this time. I think we did a lot to contain it, but we need to learn how to live with it. And that's going to mean continuing to make sacrifices and continuing to do things to look out for everybody else's well-being as well as the well-being of all of society. So even coming back, we're going to do what we can to mitigate it. But as your daughter says, it's very, very real.
And we have coming up this Wednesday, a couple of days from now, the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima. And it'll be a special day for our diocese as well. For the first time in a while, we're having a rosary being led by you and Father Stosh Daly and Father Stephen Alcott from St. Patrick, leading that rosary after Mass on Wednesday.
That's right. And some of the sisters will be here as well. I just don't know which sisters, otherwise I'd announce their names. But yes, we're going to pray the rosary together. Normally we would have a procession from Holy Family to St. Patrick's passing by the cathedral along the way. We'd be praying the rosary along the way. So thank you to St. Gabriel Radio. We're going to immediately after Mass pray that rosary. We'll have a little bit of music and we'll pray the glorious mysteries. It is a Wednesday. And then I believe that you'll be rebroadcasting it in the evening when we would normally have the procession, so that families might be able to join together and pray the rosary.
Yeah, it'll be re-aired at 5 o'clock. It'll also be available on our archive at stgabrielradio.com, so you can listen to that in the evening if you'd like to pray along with Bishop Brennan and the sisters and Father Stosh Daly and Father Stephen Alcott as we celebrate the beauty of the rosary. And one of the best things that I remember about Our Lady of Fatima is that she said that when you pray the rosary, it brings peace. And boy, do I need that now. And I know everybody
that's
else
right.
does.
Yeah, that's right. We do. We need peace. And, you know, Fatima is an important mystery of the apparition of Mary, because it is, she did appear in a time of, a terrible time, in a time of great war. And she promised peace and she promised mercy. You know, some of the visions were a little scary, but basically what they were doing was pointing to God's mercy. So we need to pray for that peace and for his mercy.
And Bishop Brennan, would you like to close this segment of Frontline of Hope with a prayer?
I most certainly do, and thank you. And thanks for giving me that soapbox, boy.
I
went off on the soapbox, but I appreciate that. Why don't we turn to the Lord? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Queen of heaven, rejoice, alleluia. For the Son whom you merited to bear, alleluia, has risen as he said, alleluia. Pray for us to God, alleluia. Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary, alleluia, for the Lord is truly risen, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. And may Almighty God bless all of you and all your families in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. And now we rejoin our regularly scheduled programming, Already in Progress.